minutes before 6 o'clock, and that means coming up next is Bread and Roses, KBOO's feminist news and public affairs. That's coming up right after these messages.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Triangle Productions run of Five Lesbians Eating Quiche, starting November 28th and ending on December 20th at The Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza in Portland. This is a comedic look at the window of 1956's Susan B. Anthony Society for the Sisters of Gertrude Stein, as they sit in their renovated community center, sharing secrets as the threat of atomic apocalypse nibbles at their heels. Again, that's the Triangle Productions performance of Five Lesbians Eating Quiche at The Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO at the Clinton, a monthly film screening at the Clinton Street Theater, is proud to show Five Broken Cameras on Thursday, December 11th at 7 p.m. The first ever Palestinian film to be nominated for Best Documentary Feature, Five Broken Cameras is a deeply personal first-hand account of life and nonviolent resistance in a West Bank village surrounded by Israeli settlements. Shot by Palestinian farmer Emad Burnat, who brought his first camera in 2005 to record the birth of his youngest son, the film is structured in chapters around the destruction of each one of Burnat's cameras. Again, that's Five Broken Cameras, Thursday, December 11th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Welcome to Bread and Roses. Bread and Roses is a collective of women-identified radio activists bringing you feminist news and public affairs programming every Friday at 6 p.m. here on your favorite community radio station, KBOO 90.7 FM. Women have had this forum on KBOO since 1978. Yes, that's 36 years, folks. I am your host this evening, Delphine Crescenzo, and Brooke is our engineer. Tonight on Bread and Roses, we explore the work of Village Gardens, a North Portland nonprofit and community-led project that, quote, brings a spirit of hope to the people by growing and sharing healthy food, learning and teaching skills, and empowering community leadership. Village Gardens programs include, but are not limited to, individual and family garden plots. They have employment opportunities for adults and teen, an emerging livestock project. They also have a community health worker program, a youth-run farm called Food Works Farm, and a community healthy corner store called the Village Markets. But again, there's more. You can find out more about Village Gardens online, villagegardens.org. And also, Village Gardens is currently featured in the Willamette Week gift guide. So if your minds are blown by the work that they do, please support them by visiting giftguide.org. So we are joined this evening by several Village Gardens community leaders, youth leaders, and staff. So let me introduce everybody. We'll start with Leslie Asinga. She is the community programs manager at Fillers Garten. She's been working for the past 12 years in low and mixed income communities, building relationships, community, and programs. We also have Mary Postlewaite with us. Mary has been engaged with Fillers Garten for 3 years and is one of the community health workers. Mary is the mother of six, and she wants to help give young women a second chance. Her biggest inspiration is sharing her story to inspire young women to change. Nicole Crane is also with us. She is a community leader at Village Garden's Seeds of Harmony Garden. She became involved with Village Gardens because she wanted to find ways to offset the large food bill of her household. Her vision is to see more low-income families have access to healthy food and knowledge. Mikhail Bruss is also with us. He is program supervisor for the youth-run Foodworks Farm. Mikhail says that the most fulfilling and rewarding part of his job is seeing the youth pursue their dreams and aspirations, figuring out how to run a farm together as a team and building deep connections with each other and the land that they work on. Marcelia Postlewaite is also with us. She's been working for Foodworks for over 4 seasons and she's been a crew leader for the last 2 years. Her favorite thing to do at Foodworks Farm is to host volunteers. Marcelia is a senior at Roosevelt High School, and she plans to go to either George Fox University or Portland Community College next year. And finally, Amber Baker, Program Director for Village Gardens, is with us. First invited to join the project as a volunteer, she now supports the project by ensuring that staff and community leaders have the resources needed to accomplish their program goals. Thank you, all of you, for being here.
Thank you.
Let's start by, sharing with people out there, what is the community that you guys work and live in? All of the work of Village Gardens is really centered around specific neighborhoods. Would you go around and start telling people, what do you want them to know about where you live and where you work? Who wants to start? Mary.
I will. Mm-hmm. I live in North Portland in a housing project called the Cathedral Gardens, formerly the St. John's Woods. Mm-hmm. In the past, it's been a very rough neighborhood. Lots of gang violence and drugs. Village Gardens came in and showed the neighborhood that you can work together, mm-hmm. and to stop the things that are going on. And I want people to know that things can change. They came in and they helped us.
Mm-hmm. Marcelia, how about you? What do you want people to know about where you live?
I mean, my mom kind of touched on it a little bit. We definitely can change. Everybody has that in them. And I think you just have to want to make that change. You have to want it for yourself before it can actually happen. And Village Gardens definitely gave us that hope and gave us the strength to want to make that change for our community. And it's been a huge improvement for us. So mm-hmm. I'm proud.
Great. Mikhail, would you go next?
Sure. Yeah. So I guess... what I could add about the community is that as staff that doesn't live there and comes into work, our job, our work is really based around that community. Mm-hmm. So it's not happening, we're not coming in and doing the work. We're coming in and working with the community. So
yes.
It's really community based, and that's the lens that we do all our work through, and really try to see what the community needs and wants, and then we try to help facilitate whatever change they're seeing in their community. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nicole, you live there.
Yes, I do. I'm a homeowner in New Columbia. I've lived out there for 7 years. I was actually there when it was the old villa. And mm-hmm. to come in now as a homeowner and to see the different changes that Village Market has had on our community, and also the fact that
which is our corner store,
mm-hmm. which is amazing. and then having a community garden where you can get to know different people, different cultures, and learn many of different ways of cooking healthier for your family. Mm-hmm. So it has made a tremendous impact on me as a mother with 7 kids. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to make my food bill really, expand here and go long. So mm-hmm. being able to have that fresh vegetables at your access mm-hmm. is amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Amber, what do you want people to know about where you work?
Yeah, that's great. Some of the folks here live in the neighborhoods where Village Gardens has been supporting leaders for over a decade now. And I've had the amazing privilege of having been invited to participate, as Mikhail said, in helping to facilitate some of that work and support it. I think, you know, Village Gardens is based in some North Portland housing developments that I think oftentimes are misunderstood. I think there have been articles like the most dangerous neighborhood in Portland, referring to St. John's Woods. And, you know, I was just like, wow, this is such a great community and there's so many wonderful people here. I know the same has gone for New Columbia in terms of, some of the stories that are told and some sentiment left over from the community before some transformation that's happened. But I think the thing that I want to add is that for me, the predominant story of those communities has been one of really phenomenal people who have a ton of vision, a ton of hope, a ton of aspiration for themselves, for their families, for their community, not always in a position to have the resources needed to accomplish all of those things right away, but no lack of vision for what could happen. And so I am just inspired constantly by the communities where we work, and feel totally honored to get to at least spend my daytime there.
Leslie, would you add a few words, and then we're going to go to a membership break.
So I came on board with Village Gardens just 2 months ago, so I'm the newbie around the table.
Sort of.
So she says that because I have been in that community for 7 years prior, mm-hmm. when they initially built out New Columbia. And so I'm echoing a lot of the things that have already been mentioned around the table, and that it's both of these are incredibly resilient communities, mm-hmm. that are comprised of some truly magnificent people and personalities. It's very culturally diverse. In spite of what the perception is, sometimes in the media, people do actually get along in these communities, and it's very neighborly. I feel totally and completely safe as I move through both, and I feel as though a lot of stigma has been attached unnecessarily to both communities, and it's because of some of the folks that are around the table and many more, mm-hmm. that live in these communities that is beginning to I think, change the tide in perception of an identity of who and what these communities are and what they can be.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking so much in detail about the work that you guys are doing on a daily basis. We're joined by Leanne, who is going to tell you all about how you can support KBOO.
Thank you,
Delphi.
Thank you, Delphi. We are really seeking new members this weekend. 100 new members this drive, 30 a day. We have 15 more that we need today. We encourage you to call 877-500-5266 and join today for the first time. We know a lot of people, actually the majority of people listening, are not KBOO members, though they appreciate the station. They tune to it like a daily friend to get the real news. So we encourage you to call us. Show us you're out there. 877-500-5266.
And the reason why you would want to call and contribute to KBOO right now, it's because this is a place where we have community come together. This is a place where you hear voices you usually don't hear. This is a place where we train people to bring you the programming. This is a place where community has happened for 45 years. It is an experiment of beauty and community building, and that's the reason why you want to call 877-500-5266 5266 and contribute to KBOO. You can also decide to go online at kboo.fm and donate this way. You could donate $5 a month. You could donate $5 for a year. Whatever it is that you can afford is what we will take, because this is part of your community. This is part of your life. We know it, and we know you want to contribute. Maybe you're thinking you can't, but really you can. Even with a few cents a month, a few cents a day, a dollar here and there, this is how KBOO has been on the air for 45 years because of folks like you who have donated thousands and who have donated pennies, because that's what you had. So please call us 877-500-5266.
Or if you're listening online in Portland or the rest of the universe, you can click on the tip jar at kboo.fm. Show us your support. 15 new voices.
Thank you so much, Leanne, for joining us. And thank you for all the people who are going to call KBOO and contribute tonight. But tonight we are talking here on Bread and Roses about Village Gardens, which is a nonprofit that operates in North Portland. And there's a variety of things that they do, but this is a community-led initiative, which makes this organization very different from the way that many nonprofits worked. I was wondering, Amber, if you could, or Leslie, talk a little bit about what does that mean? What is community-led initiative? And share a little bit of the history of Village Gardens and how it came together.
Sure. So, at Village Gardens, we really focus on ensuring and insisting that all of our programs and projects are led by and directed by teams of community members. Mm-hmm. So with our youth program, FoodWorks, there are youth who are on staff who work in partnership with our adults, because someone has to drive the vehicles, right?
That's the only reason.
There's some other things that they do, obviously.
Just a chauffeur.
But they work in partnership together to envision and create and design the project. So, mm-hmm. For example, if a new if there's a partner in the community that wants to work with us, you know, the first thing that we'll do is check in with our youth crew leaders and figure out if it's a partnership that they would like to pursue. So that's one of the ways that we make sure that continues to be, the youth in the driver's seat of the program. In our community gardens, we have teams of community members that meet together weekly to run and manage those gardens, and other people here can help to share a little bit more about what that looks like. With the village market, when we planned that, again, we had, you know, monthly community meetings with the whole neighborhood. We also had a team of community members, a smaller number of people that worked together almost full time as mm-hmm. volunteers to envision and plan and implement that project over a 2-year period. Our philosophy as a program and how we work as staff is that our role is to do our programming with the community, mm-hmm. not do our program to or for the community. So it is a partnership. We know we have, as staff members, we know we have a lot to offer and a lot to contribute. And there's a reason why community leaders have said, we need staff support in this area. We need you to do this. Mm-hmm. And we're there to work together to make that happen. But we really express a sense of accountability to our leaders when we're doing program development. We also are engaging in participatory program evaluation, so that it's actually leaders who are helping us to understand if we're doing anything well the way that we think we are trying to do it. Mm-hmm. And so I think some of those practices are how we make sure that our program continues to be led by our community. Mm-hmm. In terms of how Village Gardens started, there were a group of, and I'll just say, I don't think anyone here was actually, none of us were the founders mm-hmm. of Village Gardens, although Marcellia, who is the youngest one here, by yes, the way, I think has been involved for longer than anyone else at the table.
Yeah, actually, it's been almost 13
how
years.
How old were you when you started?
I was 13. Three.
Yeah. So Marcellia was one of the first kiddos in the garden club that parents started in St. John's Wood. So she was, she's got the most history, but she might not have remembered exactly how it went down. So I will help. I'll tell the story because we do a lot of storytelling. But there were a group of women in St. John's Woods who were doing some organizing, more traditional tenant organizing around broken windows, challenges with working with management, just some different issues, but kind of in a reactionary way, sort of responding to problems. And they really wanted to have a more long-term positive organizing presence in their neighborhood, something that people could come together around that was positive and hopeful. And people were also identifying food access as a huge need for the neighborhood. So a garden seemed like a really good idea. And these women thought that a garden would help accomplish both of those things, a chance to get people to come together and then also deal with a very real need of food availability in the community. So the project started in 2001. As a community garden, very quickly they determined that there was going to have to be something for the little kids to do so they wouldn't ruin everyone else's garden. So they started a kids garden, its own garden in its own space that, again, the rule was you can't be in there as an adult unless you're there with your kids. And then also kids had to be in there with an adult. But it was definitely like kids had to be in the garden for it to be used. It was definitely their space in the neighborhood. The women also identified very quickly that there was a need for something for teenagers to do in the neighborhood and an opportunity for teens to build skills and employment experience. And so the FoodWorks program kind of emerged out of that need. And originally, youth were hired by Village Gardens to help build the gardens, grow food for elderly folks who couldn't get out of their homes. And then shortly after they started that, they thought, hey, I think we might be able to sell some of this stuff. And they started a really small farmers market stand in 2003. And that has grown into an incredibly fruitful and abundant small farm business now, and I'll let them speak a little bit more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to get in depth here in just a minute into FoodWorks. So, Marcellia, get ready.
All right.
It's going to be your turn soon. But first, we're going to be joined by Leanne and actually tell you, remind you, because I know you're listening and I know you know why it's important to contribute to KBOO. Maybe you've already done it. You know, maybe you're thinking, well, you know, I don't have time right now, but this is a mini drive. It's like 3 days. Started yesterday, it's ending tomorrow. We are shooting for $20,000, 100 new members. If, you know, it's been on your mind for a while, wow, I really like KBOO. I've been listening for so long. Maybe I should go ahead and contribute. That could be your time, not only because now is the time, but also because there's lots of great thank you gifts that you could be getting, all kinds of incentives here that KBOO has on the back burner for you. So if you call 877-500-5266 or go online at kboo.fm, you could contribute that way. And maybe, Leanne, do you have a few of the incentives that people could win?
Yes. For a $90 minimum donation, for example, you can get the 2015 Portland Chinook book. You see those everywhere. Tons of coupons and savings that will not only save you money in places that you like to go, but encourage you to check out other groovy organizations in the community. Another option for a little bit less is for $75 minimum donation, you can get a KBOO 4 gig flash drive. One version is the news, with lots of recorded talks by all of our heroes. Amy Goodman, for example, Robert Jensen, whose work is very timely right now in white privilege and institutionalized racism, etc. There's also an audio flash drive version with lots of music. So please call if you're interested in those gifts or you want to give your own amount. Call 877-500-5266. Or kboo.fm if you're listening online.
And also, Leanne, you know, I want to take a minute to really ask folks that are listening to Bread and Roses in particular, because of the content that we bring here as a collective of women-identified radio activists. I think that it's very important that we remind folks that this collective and this show has been on the air for 36 years. What that means is that not only women have passed on the torch from one another for 36 years, you know, and again, we are a collective, we are women, we take turns, we host, we engineer, we produce, and but this also means that, you know, the community have stepped in to help KBOO financially so that Bread and Roses could stay on the air, so that this torch could be passed on, and that's also for me a shows the commitment of the community to making Bread and Roses available, not just to you know, people that are listening constantly, but also to new listeners, because, hey, we discover new things all the time. If you have just discovered KBOO, this is the best thing that has happened to you in years. Mary, right here, one of our guests, telling me when she was a teenager listening to KBOO, this is the best thing. So give us a call and donate, 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
And it's that time of year when people are feeling that stirring in their heart to give a little extra to organizations that they support all year. And you know, KBOO carries that spirit every day, all year long. We are coming from a place of wanting goodwill toward humankind and peace on earth and all that stuff that makes you tingle this time of year. So please support us in our work as we support you. 877-500-5266. Or if you're listening online, click on the tip jar in the upper corner, kboo.fm.
And when you do go online, I think online is a great way to donate, you know, because, you know, it's the intimacy of your home. You can think about how much you're going to donate as long as you want. You know, you're comfy, you're comfortable, and go ahead and do that. And, you know, lots of people do donate online, people from all over the world. So if you are here in Portland and you're like, what should I donate? Well, you should donate because some people in Paris, some people, you know, in Tanzania, some people in Russia are currently listening to KBOO. And you know, that's how far we reach, people. That's what I'm saying. Donate, 877-500-5266. You're listening to Bread and Roses. I'm Delphine Crescenzo, and we joined this evening on Bread and Roses by a crew of Village Gardens staff members, but also community leaders and youth leaders. So, Marshalia. Yes. Marshalia Postlewaite, she's been working for FoodWorks for quite a few years now. Tell us about what you guys do.
So FoodWorks is a nonprofit organization, and it's ran by youth from all over North Portland, or Portland, I should say, not just North Portland. And we are a certified organic farm. We have a farm on Savi's Island that is 2.5 acres, and we currently harvest and grow our own produce and sell it to the community and to different businesses such as New Seasons, different farmers markets, Sisters of the Road, CSA, and the Village Market as well in New Columbia. And we really try to give the community affordable organic produce to, you know, better their health. And FoodWorks does not only teach you how to grow food, but it also teaches you job skills such as public speaking and customer service, cashiering, and they help you not only with those things but academics in school, and they definitely want the best for you, and they push you and they want you to succeed and strive and, you know, reach for the stars.
And Marshalia is doing all that.
That is exactly what I'm doing, yes. And I've been with them for 4 years. And like Mikhail said, I've been a crew leader for 2. And it's going on my 5th season, so I feel a little old. I'm the grandma one. No. But it's been a great experience working for FoodWorks and seeing the transformation within the community and within, you know, each of our youth, and seeing them grow and seeing myself grow from the moment I walked in to till now. I'm not leaving anytime soon, hopefully. And
please don't.
No, I won't. I guess that depends on me. And yeah, it's been a definitely a very successful farming, a couple farming years that we've had for sure. So I'm thankful for it.
Mm-hmm. And Amber shared with us that you've been involved since you were age three.
Yeah,
you've
I was about three growing. Or four. Yeah, for sure.
What has it been to, like, you know, spend your life, you know, gardening and, you know, growing food?
You know, when I was younger, I just did it for fun.
Yeah.
To be honest, all my friends did it. So I was like, hey, maybe I should go in the garden too. Let me go and get my hands dirty. Mm-hmm. I don't really remember a whole lot. I remember helping out with the food works crew when I was younger. And I would always run into the office and ask Amber, like, hey, when can I be a food works member? Like, I'm ready right now. I'm 6 years old going into the office. I'm ready. I want it. And as soon as I turned 14, I went into the office and Amber was like, 13, excuse me. And I went in there and Amber was like, look, here's an application. You fill it out. And that same day I turned it in. And ever since I've been involved. I've been hooked. I love it. It's like a second family to me. There's definitely, they've definitely helped out with a lot of different things in my life. And if it wasn't for Foodworks and Village Gardens as a whole, I think I probably wouldn't be the same person I am today. And thanks to my mom, obviously. Yeah. My mom definitely has a big part in my life as well. But Foodworks has definitely been there for me when I've needed them the most. So yeah. I'm thankful.
Well, let's turn to Mary, to your mother.
Yes.
Mary, you are with the Community Health Worker Program. If you can tell us a little bit about that program, but also if you want to tell us about how, you know, this has been in your guys' relationship something that you have in common that you have been, you know, has been supporting both of you guys.
Sure. I'm a community health worker with Village Gardens. I've been volunteering as a community health worker for 2 years. I believe it's been there for about 3 years, roughly. I actually got involved because of my daughter and a couple other people in Village Gardens. I was the type of person that really didn't like to come out of my house. I didn't really like to see people. Just kind of stayed to myself, and my daughter did this gardening thing and she kept bugging me and bugging me, and so finally I decided to go ahead and become a community health worker. And now in my community I can, you know, do a variety of different things with the neighborhood. I work with the people out there on where to get good food, where to get healthy food. I've worked with youth and trying to help them gain some skills going through Foodworks. Village Gardens has made a real big impact on me through my children. I've strived to raise my children in a different way that I was raised, and Foodworks helped aid that along for me. Mm. It's given my daughter the work skills and the maturity that I probably couldn't have provided for her along those lines. So I'm grateful for that with Village Gardens, and it's a wonderful program, Foodworks is. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I love it. I like working with them.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Nicole, let's go to you. Talk to us a little bit about the community garden that you are a leader for.
Okay. I am one of the leaders, which is, of course, we kind of family connected because Ma and Helen is a leader in the garden.
Great.
Which is very chatty. But being a part, to me, being a leader is leading by example. Mm-hmm. So by having a 20 by 20 garden plot, which is a lot of work.
That's ambitious.
Yeah. I've been able to have better exercise, because you're digging, you're down there, and not only are you working your garden, but you have an opportunity to help others. For those who seniors we have out there who actually have raised bed gardens, mm-hmm. you're assisting them with their keeping up their garden. There's also the your kids that have an opportunity to see initially where this food comes from. I mean, because there's some kids that say, well, where'd that come from? We just grew that in the garden. You know, so having that ability to really know where your food is coming from has been amazing, and being able to share on the information, the trainings that you get about where how to keep your food healthy, how to grow this food, how to harvest your food, things you can make, like never ate kale before, okay, until I grew it there. And I was like, what is this? And they was like, oh, it's another form of green. No, there's nothing like greens. I'm sorry. You know, so being able to show my kids something different was amazing to me. And they had their first kale chips. I was like, okay. Makai, I think you showed my daughter that one. But it's okay. It was good. So just experience something new. To be able to have access to that and be able to work with people. I mean, we have 18 different languages spoken in our community, mm-hmm. which is amazing. And all that comes together through food.
Oh, yeah.
And it's amazing. I mean, the being able to be out there and then have someone show you how a tomatillo can be transformed into this or to a salsa or mm-hmm. it's a warm and welcoming feeling to be a part of something so huge, because mm-hmm. it's bigger than ourselves. This is something so amazing that you can't stop coming because of the things that we do. As a leader, you're passing the buck. You're showing your kids another way of living, that mm-hmm. we can live off the earth. We don't have to have all this processed food and all this quick food. We can go in there and slam a burger together with just vegetables and still feel like we're full. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's just amazing to be a leader in the community I live in, mm-hmm. I reside in. So my daughter actually did also food works. She was like, yeah, that's a lot of work. Yeah, it didn't matter because she still had to work in my garden for me. Yes, exactly. And a little complaining, but she did it. But just having that experience of having being homegrown. So.
And tell us about your food bill.
Oh, my food bill is much cheaper. Hey, I can say that. Tomatoes, I ain't got to worry about. Lettuce, carrots. It's been amazing. Like I said, I'm a mother of seven, and I mean, all my kids either play some sort of sport, football, basketball, mm-hmm. wrestling.
They're hungry.
Exactly, all the time. And then they bring their friends, right? So I mean, I'm feeding them, okay, let's go out here and get a couple of zucchinis, sear them up, and mm-hmm. you know, that's what we having for lunch. And funny thing is, it fills those boys up. Yeah. That's amazing. You know, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's been amazing, mm-hmm. and it's really connecting a lot of folks together at an affordable cost. Mm-hmm. So it's been amazing.
Yeah. Leslie, would you tell us a little bit about the Livestock Project? Because that's another one that's up and coming.
Can you say cock-a-doodle-doo, baby?
Cock-a-doodle-doo, baby.
So we have some really beautiful birds out there and a really nice flock of hens. And that program came to pass because we were looking for an alternative source of protein mm-hmm. As a give back to the community. So there wouldn't be necessarily so much meat. Mm-hmm. And so I came in on the tail end of the flock, actually. And we had seven hens that we just transported to the Lighthouse Farm Sanctuary mm-hmm. because you have to be considerate of the lifespan of a hen. Even though she may have reached her egg laying capacity, she still has a couple more years that she can cluck around and do her thing. So it was really, really good that we had that kind of placement. And that's also one thing I think that a lot of people that do backyard coops need to think about, you know, as they step down this path of wanting to raise chickens and have fresh eggs in the morning, if they don't want a meat source, but if they want for the full life of the animal to be in place, then that's part of the consideration. Mm-hmm. And so once again, community-led, community-supported, specifically at Cathedral Gardens, looking at possibilities of expansion to New Columbia as we start to iron out the kinks in the system and get it back on the road again. With the new introduction of another flock, probably March, February or March mm-hmm. of this year.
Yeah.
So we're starting the production all over again. Or actually, it's like Mother Nature's starting the production yes. all over again. We're just supporting her.
Yeah, right. And welcoming some new hands.
Yes.
And let's talk a little bit also about the village markets, right? The healthy corner stores. So Ember can talk a little bit about that. And really all the hard work that came with, you know, this coming off the ground, so much community collaboration.
Yeah, so in 2009, Home Forward connected with Village Gardens because of the success that we had had in leading and supporting other community-based initiatives that had something to do with food.
And these people said, know
hey,
what they're doing.
Why don't you guys open a store? And we said, well, let's think about that for a little while. So we convened a group of our garden leaders and our Food Works youth at the time, and we had like a 2 or 3 hour community leaders meeting to talk about if this was something that they wanted to even try to take on. And there were a lot of really good questions and a lot of really great vision. And but I think the group overall was pretty realistic, like, let's not do this if it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. So we decided to go through a business planning process with a group of people from the neighborhood who were interested, and spent about 6 months coming up with kind of a preliminary plan. And throughout that process, honestly, we've worked with grocery industry leaders, we've worked with funders, we've worked with people from the East Coast and Philadelphia who were doing healthy corner store work in other cities and other parts of the country. We worked a lot with Home Forward and then other community members to look at, you know, what could we do to make some kind of viable store happen in New Columbia. So it took a long time before we opened. I think the first conversation was, hey, could you guys open in 6 months? And we thought, well, usually things take us a long time to do because we make sure that we're really doing them in partnership. Yes. And that sometimes takes longer than other ways of doing things. I say that kind of tongue in cheek. We take a long time to do things.
But they do it so well.
Yes. So we, you know, it took 2 years before we opened the store from when we started planning it. It was a very challenging process. It's been a challenging venture for those who have been in sort of behind the scenes making it happen. But I would say that we have seen so much that... thank you. I'm getting notes passed to me. We've seen so much from the community that it is absolutely a resource that people want to have in their neighborhood. And the organizers of the project prior to opening coordinated door knocking over a few weekends in one of the summers when we were planning and knocked on 650 doors and I think had 450 conversations.
Wow.
With residents in the community to find out what people wanted to see. And resoundingly, people heard, you know, we want produce, we want high quality stuff, we want stuff that we can, afford.
Yeah.
We want it to be a place where, you know, we may not get every single thing that we buy, but if we need something, we can get what we need. Mm-hmm. And that was, something that I think that we have made happen and that the community has made happen. And it's gone through some bumps, certainly. We were food growers, not necessarily grocers, but we've learned a lot along the way. And it's been really wonderful to walk into the market lately and just feel what a community space it has become. People from all over the community come into the store, and it's become a really positive place.
And a place also where people can sell their produce that they grow in the community, and places also where people can get hired to work in the community. Yeah. You're listening to Bread and Roses. We're going to take a short break, be joined by Leanne, who's going to remind you of that phone number, because we haven't said that in a while. Leanne, what's the phone number?
Please call us at 877-500-5266. I'll repeat it, 877-500-5266. Delphine, your guest tonight with the Food Works Village Gardens program, I think they just said the most feminist thing I've heard all year. They respect the lifespan of the hen beyond egg laying. Thank you very much. That's all we're saying. Please show your support of this amazing community organization. Show your support of the Bread and Roses Collective, who we love to spotlight the works in our community, especially those run by and powered by women, and share their voices. We're wanting new members, those shy ones out there who listen to our show every Friday night from 6 to 7, to please speak up tonight. Call us and become a new member of KBOO. Any amount that is comfortable for you. But if you'd like to give us a minimum donation of $60 a year, you can get also a little gift back to us from us, a one-year subscription to Yes Magazine. It's an award-winning, ad-free, nonprofit publication that supports people's active engagement in building a just and sustainable world, just like we do here at KBOO.
And, you know, if you need a few more reasons why you should donate, you know, I think that you can also look at the way that we share ideas with each other in, you know, conversations. And this is kind of what we are having for you today. We're having a public conversation here in the studio. We come together, we talk, we share information with each other, and that makes us richer and that makes us stronger. And I feel that the same way that Village Gardens is growing food. Here on KBOO, we are growing media activism. We are wanting people to be engaged, be aware of what's happening out in the streets in your community. Did you know of Village Gardens? If you did not, if you learned of Village Gardens tonight, give KBOO a call and actually show your support to KBOO, you know, because this is your community radio station. Again, I'm a volunteer. 500 volunteer run the station, and we do it because we care about the community. 877-500-5266 or online kboo.fm. This is Bread and Roses. I'm Delphine Crescenzo, and we've been talking tonight with folks from Village Gardens. We have staff and community leader and youth leaders, and we've been talking about the different programs that they have. I wanted to shift the conversation a little bit and try to have this conversation around how you feel Village Gardens is in fact changing the neighborhood, right? Mary, you kind of mentioned that a little bit. I was wondering if you can expand a little bit about, you know, concrete ways, you know, that you feel Village Gardens is contributing.
Well, in my opinion, in the past, people of the neighborhood didn't feel like their voices were heard. Mm. And not only did Village Gardens bring affordable, healthy, organic food and showed us how to grow it, but they also brought us, I kind of want to say, a shoulder to lean on, you know, give us our voices and let us know that our voices are important and that with those voices we can make a change. And, you know, it took a little bit more than just the people that are there, because the people that are in the community were going through it and didn't know what to do or how to, you know, talk about anything or whatever. So Village Gardens has brought the voice to the people of the communities to allow them to step up and say, hey, you know, this isn't how we're going to be anymore. We don't want this in our neighborhood. You know, we're trying to change. We're trying to be more positive. Mm-hmm. And it brought a more positive light, especially in my eyes, to the Cathedral Gardens, mm-hmm. formerly the St. John's Woods. It put a new aura over mm-hmm. over the property. So mm-hmm. I think the work that they do is wonderful. It's yeah. just expanded so much mm-hmm. from what it was. The tiny little seed that was planted in 2001 has grown to an huge oak tree.
Oh, yeah. Marcellia, how about you? How do you feel maybe around youth, you know? How do you feel Village Gardens is changing opportunities for youth as well?
I think that Village Gardens is giving youth kind of a backbone mm-hmm. and giving them that confidence that they need. Kind of like my mom said, people in the community didn't really have a voice, and that went for youth as well. And Village Gardens definitely gave us that confidence that we needed to speak up and say, hey, you know, like mm-hmm. something needs to change and we need something for ourselves, not just for adults, but for youth as well. And we got that. We have Food Works, and it's been a huge transformation. And I think the biggest thing is really just giving us that confidence we needed to strive for our dreams and really do what we want to do and do it in a positive way.
Mm-hmm. You guys taught me what jicama and persimmons were.
We're teaching.
We teach adults things.
We teach new things.
And I would just add to Michelia, we work really hard with the youth to create a community on the farm and in the program. Youth and staff and everyone feel safe to be able to express their opinions, their ideas, their feelings, and really, I think, and also respect, communicate really respectfully and having open feedback and using consensus to make decisions. Yeah. And I think it really gives, and they're involved in all the decision making. And so it really gives them, I think the power, or they see that the power that they already have, to create change, and they create it in Foodworks, like every day, figuring out what's going to happen, what's our program going to look like, what are we going to grow, and I think they really take that everywhere they go, into their community, you know, where they go, you know, after work's done, hanging out with friends, and then into their life wherever, you know.
For sure, and that's definitely true. I definitely take all the skills that I learn and use them within school, within the community, with my friends as well, and. You can definitely
taught me how to cook some vegetables.
Yeah, I mean, I teach adults, and it's amazing to see that teenagers have such a strong voice, and that we can actually make a difference. Mm-hmm. And Village Gardens and Foodworks has done that for us.
Yeah, it really feels that you are equals, right, to the adults, which very often I feel we just consider youth as inferior as us, right? Maybe less experience. You know, so far, but definitely lots of wisdom there. So, okay, we're going to take our last break with Leon here, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about, you know, food access and social justice with Village Gardens. This is Bread and Roses, and we bring you feminist public affairs programming every Friday, and we do it because we love it, but also because we know that you love it.
Yes, and our collective has been on the KBOO airwaves since 1978. As Delphine said earlier, women passing the torch, keeping this airspace alive. And I had the pleasure of interviewing the Foodworks program a few years ago on KBOO, and I was just struck by all the things they were doing right. Consensus decision making, I mean, hello, how rare is that? So,
very rare.
Yeah. Show your support of organizations like this and KBOO, the station that brings them to your attention, by donating, if you're a current member, you can up your typical monthly donation. You can, if you're new, if you haven't ever pledged before, we encourage you to do so tonight. I'm going to challenge 5 women and male allies to call in the next 10 minutes. Show your support at 877-500-5266, or if you're listening online, kboo.fm, click the tip jar in the upper right-hand corner. We can do it.
And also, thank you, Leanne, for bringing up the fact that if you currently are a member and are donated, maybe you want to just consider upping how much you are currently contributing, whether it is yearly or monthly. So maybe you are currently donating $5 a month or $10 a month. Maybe you can add a couple dollars a month to that, and that will go a long way for KBOO. And donating a little bit every month is really the most sustainable way that you help keep KBOO well. And running. It takes us lots of money and lots of planning to run the station. And if we know that we have this money coming in the bank, this is very, very helpful to us. And also it makes it feel like very smooth to you. I'm going to be upfront. I am a monthly contributor to KBOO, and I donate how much I make 1 hour. So maybe that's what you want to do. Maybe you make 10 bucks an hour, 11, 12, 13. Maybe you make 25 or 35 or 50 bucks an hour. Maybe that's how much you could give a month to KBOO. And you know, it's in the big mix of thing. You don't even feel it. So consider that. That could be something that works for you. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. You can also go online at kboo.fm. Thank you, Leanne Kranz, of course, host, producer, engineer of Bread and Roses, has been doing so for years. So thank you. All right, this is Bread and Roses. In the last few minutes that we have here with Village Gardens, time is just flying. I'd love, Leslie, if you could address a little bit, in your opinion, How you feel that the work of Village Gardens is in fact contributing to, you know, the bigger conversation out there around food issues and social justice.
So Village Gardens is in place in two very strong communities in North Portland that have a significant number of people. If you look at the statistics of especially children who are in receivership of free and reduced lunches, which means that there are things that are remiss in the household. There's not enough to go around in some instances, and children are hungry or they're not being fed adequately. So that food insecurity is real. And so to be able to impact that as a part of Village Gardens is phenomenal. That's one of the things that drew me to the work. And it's one of the reasons why when I was working in the housing industry, I was such a strong advocate of them as one of our community partners. When a lot of folks thought that the garden was going to turn into a weed bed, and now we have 72 families that are growing in there for themselves, as well as able to give away extra harvest above and beyond what they grow for their family. That speaks volumes. Anytime you have an organization whose focus is on community building and leadership development, which are two of the primary focuses of Village Gardens, that just strengthens community. I think for community to begin to identify that everything doesn't have to be external, but it's internal, that's where your strength and your power and your resiliency comes from. So when you have folks that come in to help you navigate and to understand and help to cement that in you, that's a blessing. And then, you know, also to have that additional component of economic development that's there with Food Works, that's there with hiring folks on at the market, that's there with our market gardeners program, a micro enterprise program that we're going into our third year of production on. So it's those kinds of things that begin to address social justice and food insecurities. And so there's this awakening that's happening now in this country where people want to know what's the source of their food. They want to know what's going in to it. They want to be healthier. They want to identify. They want to promote, you know, their own health. And they want to be knowledgeable and make decisions that are better for them, if not for themselves. Because sometimes, you know, we as adults think, you know, we're too far gone. But let's save the next generation. Excuse me, Marcellia. She's been at it since three, so she's strong and powerful. She's got it going on. So, and then there's the environmental concerns that come in, and everything that we do is organic. So that's just an added plus. So I want folks to around the table to feel as though they can contribute to the conversation as well when you start to talk about empowerment and food scarcity and issues of social justice and how it ties in with the work that we do.
And maybe a good way of getting this, maybe from you, Nicole, is, you know, if there are communities out there that are thinking about doing something like this but kind of hesitant, what would you say? Maybe in just a couple of words, and maybe we can get a few more people talking about that. We're going to have to wrap up.
Just thinking of someone who would love to start a community garden. Really gather your folks. Gather your folks that live in that community that will occupy that space, and try to make it as diverse as possible. Because that's what how you grow things, how you become a community advocate, a community leader, how you become an advocate for better health. So,
yeah. Thank you. Amber, what would you say to folks out there that are thinking about doing that and they're going, ah?
Yeah, you know, I have learned so much from the people of Village Gardens, and I think one thing that I have learned is to trust your own strength and your own capacity. And I've heard so much, even just tonight, people saying, you know, Village Gardens has changed my life, or I wouldn't be who I was without it. And I just have to say, that is so, Village Gardens would not be what it is without, you know, Marcellia, without Mary, without Nicole. And I think, you know, sometimes it's easy not to believe in what we have to offer. And that, to me, is really the fundamental base of all of this is, finding people, finding your people, right? Yeah. Gather your people.
Gather your people
because you need others to, yeah. to believe in yourself. And
and start small and grow it, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Any little bit.
Yeah. Marshalia, how about you? What would you tell? Maybe there's youth out there that are wanting to do this work. What would you say to them?
I think if you want to start something like this, communication is key with anything you do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you really need that. Mm-hmm. And gather your folks, start small, and you have to have that passion. If you don't have passion, it's not going to go anywhere. But definitely good communication with your folks, for
That's
sure.
That's wonderful advice. Mary, how about you? Mary's thinking, she's like, hmm. She's good. She's your daughter.
I would, she's my daughter. I would say, if that's what you want to do, to come talk to somebody over here. We can help you out. Yes. You know what I mean? So.
Good plug in. Yes. Good plug in, Mary. Mikhail, do you have a tip?
Yeah, I would say, especially in the youth programming side, like, trust in the process. These young folks have more knowledge than a lot of people give them credit for. And sometimes it's a little slow or sometimes a little messy and there's some awkward silences, but they figure it out and they come together and they run a farm. They run a 2-acre farm. So just trust in the process and don't step on toes.
And find more passionate Mikhails.
Find more Mikhails. Thank you all so much for taking the time to be here tonight.
Thanks for having us, Delphine. Thank
you. Yes, and so again, villagegarden.org, and also Village Gardens is currently in the Willamette Week Gift Guide, so you can go to giveguide.org if you would like to support. I hope you got your mind blown by their work. I definitely did. Thank you again for tuning in. Thank you, Brooke, for engineering. Thank you, Leanne, for pitching. Thank you for all of you guys who have donated, who keep listening and tuning into Bread and Roses. We're going to go out with Curtis Mayfield. This is Move It On.